Let's go out to the Golden Oak Lending phone line and welcome in our guy Jake Eisenberg, of course, from the Royals Radio Network. The Royals getting set to open up the series against the Tigers tonight. Fresh off a four-game sweep of the A's. I think, what, the first time, Jake, since like 1994? Were you born yet?
No, I was not born yet. I was born in 1995. So, yeah, we saw something yesterday that hasn't happened in my lifetime. That's always fun.
It feels like, look, I don't want to downplay, you know, there was certainly some impressive at-bats and pitching performances by the Royals, but man, watching this series, and I think you even said it on the broadcast, maybe on Tuesday night, the way that the eighth and ninth inning played out and ultimately the Royals coming back, it felt like the A's were doing their best a couple times there to just hand the game to the Royals too.
I mean, that's literally what Denny said the night of the walk-off. His call was, thanks, Athletics. And yeah, that is kind of how it felt. And look, you don't want to throw stones when you live in a glass house. You know, the A's have had their bullpen struggles this season, and the Royals took advantage. And, you know, that's what teams that are better than other teams need to do. You take advantage of what the other team gives you.
We got Jake Eisenberg joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Michael Garcia yesterday, you know, it did not look good as he was rounding the bases. And I think Q after the game acknowledged that this likely means he's headed to the IL. I guess, have you sensed in the clubhouse over the year just how frustrating these injuries have been as well? It's not just the number, but also there's been guys that have come back from injury and then had a new injury or re-injured the existing one.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. I think the sense that I get from the clubhouse is there's an understanding of, like, these things happen, frustrating as they are, and it's up to the guys that are in there and not on the injured list to go out there and compete and play hard and do their best to win every night and do their best until those other guys get back. There definitely was an infusion a couple of days ago when Vinny Pasquantino and Michael Garcia came off the injured list, and you saw this lineup that looked a heck of a lot like an opening day 2027 lineup, if you ask me, and you thought, man, could you imagine what this would have looked like all year if, like, all these guys were in there together? And there definitely is a sense of that. And it's a shame, you know, with Garcia and watching him around third yesterday and now likely going on the injured list today. In that same vein, you know, Nick Lofton has really gotten a lot of run this year, you know, playing a lot of third base in Garcia's absence. He's been terrific. And I think that's a credit to him in stepping up when the opportunity has been there for him.
In terms of Mike Helms himself, you know, this team, even with the 5-game winning streak, 19 games under 500, this hamstring thing has been bothering him since May. I mean, it didn't put him on the IL until June, but if he goes back on the IL today, which Q said yesterday is likely, is this the last that we'll see of Mikel Garcia in 2026 in your view?
Yeah, that's hard to say. It's the other hamstring this time, so that is different. It's not connected to, you know, it was the right hamstring back in May, and now it's the left hamstring. So those are two separate injuries. We don't know the severity of this hamstring injury quite yet, so I think it's too early to say whether or not he'll be back, you know, in X number of days or X number of weeks.
We're talking to Jake Eisenberg here on 96.5 The Fan. We haven't talked to you since Noah Cameron came off that complete game outing, nearly a no-hitter, and once again, we see where he's stacked up in baseball over the last month or so. What's your view on Noah right now? We all know he starts to call his own games, and that's been a huge part of it, but it feels like there's got to be more to it than just that, where now, I think for 2027, there's more confidence among fans, perhaps, that he can have a significant role in the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he was going to be a significant part of the 2027 rotation, regardless of what everybody, you know, thought. You're looking at 2027, the rotation right now as it stands is Waka, Lugo, Cameron, and then fill in the blank, you know, until other pitchers get back from injuries. We'll see. Is Randy Dobnak a part of that? Time will tell, depending upon what happens this offseason. You know, we'll see how it goes. Is Daniel Lynch the fourth a part of that? We'll see how that goes over the course of the rest of the season as he continues to get stretched out. And I think his last start was pretty encouraging too. As far as Noah's concerned, I think it sometimes maybe is as simple as confidence and conviction. At least that's sort of what he's proving, that when he can go out there and have that conviction and have that rhythm and that slider bites and that curveball drops and the fastball command is really good, when he puts all those pieces together, man, is he really good. And we saw flashes of that last year too, and we've seen flashes of it this year. We've also seen when it's gone awry a little bit this year and the command's been iffy and he gets behind in counts and then has to force, you know, pitches in the zone that then get hit. You know, that happens with every pitcher. We're seeing the best of Noah Cameron, and it's been really, really fun to watch. Really looking forward to tonight. You know, Noah Cameron, who's been on this incredible run against, you know, Troy Melton for the Tigers tonight, who's been the best pitcher in baseball since the All-Star break. I mean, that's a really good pitching matchup for a series opener.
as we're talking about guys that are playing tremendous baseball here in the month of August, Jack Caglione, I mean, as good as he was in June, he is putting that almost to shame with his play in August. He missed yesterday because of that right ankle soreness that took him out of the game two nights ago. Any expectation of him missing tonight's game, or should we expect him back in the lineup in right field?
Well, Matt Cotrero said that he was available off the bench yesterday, so it would not be entirely surprising to see him back in the starting lineup today, whether that's in right field, whether that's as a DH to keep him off his feet and off that ankle, maybe for another day more. We'll see. I will say that Q also said that this is an ankle soreness that kind of goes back to the road trip in LA, whether it was at Dodger Stadium or in Anaheim, and it didn't seem to slow him down all that much because he homered in Anaheim and had three hits and was still hitting, you know, still went 3-for-5 with a couple RBIs the other night too against the Athletics. I mean, this is just a torrid month. We're seeing him blossom into the superstar that the Royals knew he could be and that Jack knows that he is. Ever since he's been hitting third in the lineup, he's been among the best hitters in baseball. And when he comes to the plate, you expect him now to do damage. He is becoming a feared hitter, and that's been exciting to watch when he's, you know, wearing your uniform.
Last week, or I guess it would have been earlier this week, that the Royals made the move that Lucas Hursad getting sent down to AAA. We all know it's been a struggle, to say the least, here in 2026, and we were discussing earlier in the week about just how quickly things have shifted for him compared to when he was first acquired. You've been around baseball a while, whether it's in the big leagues or in the minor leagues, and it's not the first time a player, whether it's a lack of confidence and needs to just get right in that regard, and has been able to bounce back. Are you looking at the rest of this season for an Omaha, just a sense of him being able to try to get some confidence to where next spring training he's able to maybe once again compete and get them something in that bullpen?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've seen what Lucas Hursad can be and was for a Royals team that won a playoff series just 2 years ago. That doesn't go away, you know, instantaneously. That is in there. And what's happened this year, you know, is baffling, you know, from the strikeout rate going down, the swing and miss rate, the lack of command that, you know, we know that Lucas has certainly had when he came over to the Royals initially. That is still in there. And I think, you know, going to Omaha is a chance to hit the reset button, hit the refresh button, you know, get maybe a little bit away from results and a little bit back toward process in an environment where process is at the fore as opposed to results. It would not surprise me to see Lucas Hursad back in the big leagues with the Royals this season in maybe September when rosters expand and teams can add a couple more players. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back up, you know, after the couple of weeks of the option time runs out. Kind of depends on how it goes in Omaha, obviously, but
sure.
I think it's in the Royals' best interest to have Lucas Hursad find success in Omaha and then be back in the big leagues before the end of the season, and as opposed to go into the offseason having finished the year in AAA, going into the offseason having finished the year back in the big leagues, I think would be an important thing. Of course, the success is important too. You want to see the success in the big leagues after the success in AAA. That's paramount here. But I think that would be an important box to check.
It feels like in a year where the team's performing poorly, the positive storylines are kind of few and far between. And one of those positives that I feel like isn't being discussed enough is the play of Michael Massey. After yesterday's game, he goes 3-for-4. He's hitting almost 280 this year. He's got an OPS up over 750. I from your view, with the Jonathan India injury after the Royals traded for him a couple of years ago, when he comes back healthy, what does that mean for the future race for who the starting second baseman is for the Kansas City Royals? Is it still Jonathan India in your view, or has Michael Massey kind of played himself into that role as the everyday second baseman for Kansas City?
Well, Jonathan India is going to be a free agent at the end of this season,
right?
And I don't know that that's something that is part of the Royals' plans. And I think even if that might have been, I think Michael Massey has certainly earned the fact that he is the Royals' second baseman, not just with the bat, but also defensively too. I mean, he's going to be a Gold Glove finalist this year and should be. I'm not sure if he's going to win a Gold Glove, but he should be a finalist this year. And that's obviously just with the glove. The defensive floor is so high, but you know, you make a great point at the plate too. You know, I think because he hits sixth, seventh, eighth in the lineup sometimes, you kind of overlook his contributions. But then when you take a look at them and you zoom out in the totality of it, he's got a career high in batting average right now. He's getting close to a career high in games played this year. He's tied his career high in runs scored. He's getting close to his career high in hits for a season. He's already got a career high in doubles. He's getting close to his career high in homers. He's getting close to his career high in RBIs. I mean, he has done everything this year as good or better than he has done his entire career. We are seeing what a fully healthy, comfortable, smooth Michael Massey is capable of, which I'll be candid. This is I've been a big Michael Massey fan and a big believer in Michael Massey's ability to have this kind of season for a while. The thing that's held him back is the injuries and, you know, kind of the unstructure of, you know, on the injured list, coming off the injured list, going like that has limited him in his ability to like really have that runway. Getting to play every day and seeing this and seeing the adjustments that he's made over the offseason and the adjustments that he's talked about making and that Alex Zumwalt has talked about him making in St. Louis back in May, these are real sustainable things that he's been doing. And he has been such a solid all-around player for this team this year. And I'm glad you highlighted him because I do not think he gets nearly the credit that he deserves.
Jake Eisenberg, Royals Radio Network, Royals Tigers tonight, 7:10, first pitch at the K. Noah Cameron on the bump right here on 96.5 The Fan. Thanks, Jake. Have a great weekend, man.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Look, if there's one thing you can expect from tonight, it's a close game because the Royals and Tigers can't seem to figure out how to play a game that's not decided by two runs or one run or decided in the late inning. So all I'm saying is grab your popcorn, hold on to your butts. Like, we're going to have a good time tonight.